This is the Friday, March 27th, 2015 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Here now to lend us their insight on these and other trends are two of our regular market analysts, Virgil Robinson and Walt Hackney.
Hi, Mike. Hello,
gentlemen, Mike. Thanks for joining us this week. Virgil, I wanted to start with you. We watched this as a fairly solid decline here in the wheat markets as those rains came through. Do you think there's still some weather premium built into this wheat market as things stand?
Not particularly, Mike, but it should be noted that this week wheat export sales were a marketing year low. So, I mean, it's kind of the same scenario we've visited about for months now. Exporters, global exporters, have an inventory, as do we, and it is a very competitive environment and likely to remain so moving forward. However, the good news, I guess, would be several analysts are forecasting a year-over-year decline in wheat acres, wheat hectares, and production, and subsequently a small reduction in ending stock. So as the market kind of flirts with and hangs at or near contract lows, clearly any weather trauma of serious nature would create, I think, a recovery in the futures market.
Now, looking at those reduced acres, that was a worldwide reduction in wheat acres?
That's correct.
Okay, so we probably wouldn't see the impact for another 9 to 12 months if those acres are reduced?
Well, you're talking about a futures market, Mike, so, you know, it reacts far more quickly than mortal man.
So as we keep an eye on this wheat market, not a whole lot of things to really give it much direction to the upside, but maybe we've also exhausted a lot of the downside news?
Well, as mentioned, we're at or not far from contract lows, Mike, and I think we have in times past spoken about how effective wheat producers have been in marketing their crop the last several months. I think they've done a marvelous job, and I don't sense unusually large inventories at this point in the cycle. So I think that clearly is to their benefit.
All right. Well, then let's take a look, jump down into the corn market. And we're seeing some relative stability, up about 6 cents on the week. As you look at this old crop corn, what are your thoughts here? What's driving that market today?
Well, a couple things that we need to speak to initially here is we have some reports approaching next Tuesday, Mike. Planting intentions, which I think is yet kind of a moving target, as well as grain stocks or stocks in all positions. So there could well be some type of shock value in one or both of those reports. Again, trying to speak to a report prior to its release is always dangerous, but that is in the making here next week. I think producers in general are in financially pretty solid condition. And I think until we have a better understanding of acres as well as crop prospect, I think they'll continue to meter grain to the marketplace as they need cash, if in fact they need cash, or as the market pulls the grain from them by trading higher. So if there is such a thing as equilibrium, I think old crop corn is at or in that type of zone.
All right. Now, we do have a question from one of our viewers on Facebook. Drew in Montezuma, Iowa, is curious. He's heard a lot of talks of a spring rally in corn. Do you agree on the new crop side, and how greedy should a farmer get? Could this be a, what should we anticipate?
Yeah, I think a lot will be predicated on these reports, Mike, particularly the intentions report. But I think we need to understand, as mentioned, kind of a moving target. We've got unique set of circumstances here weather-wise. We have abnormally dry to moderate drought conditions. Much of the Dakotas, much of Nebraska, all of Minnesota, all of Wisconsin, while in the mid-lower south, it's just flat too wet. So there are yet acres that can swing from one crop to another. So I don't know that there's any concern yet in the mid to lower south about not being able to plant corn, but certainly 2 weeks from tonight, if they are stymied, that will have an influence on acres.
All right. Well, let's jump into the bean market. You know, the recipient of that acreage battle to see how things shake out. On the old crop side, beans trading at $9.67 currently. Any inclination that they could run higher? And demand-wise, exports still look decent for this time of year.
Well, the stocks in all positions report, there could be a shock of sorts there. I think processing margins remain profitable, and I think processors have used a lot of beans and would like to buy more beans if they can get their hands on them. And I think most of the beans in the country are in farmer-held hands. Commercially, from the elevator perspective, basis levels have risen pretty significantly from last fall, and I think all of that hedged inventory is in the pipe and gone. So that, I think, combined with what yet is fairly solid export sales this last week, very solid bean and meal sales, there could be a reduction in old crop inventory based on those two demand factors, those two disappearance factors. That could create a short covering rally, particularly since most of the speculative element of the marketplace is short soybean futures.
All right. So now as we jump into new crop, we've touched on the prospective plantings, probably going to be a driver. But fundamentally, in your conversations with people, you know, around the country, does it look like there could be that shift to beans?
Yes.
Okay.
The
All
economics
right.
warrant that.
Okay.
It's just a matter of degree. Ranges from 83.5 up to 88, I think. And again, I'm not going to make a statement on acres, but certainly year over year, soybean acres will be up, probably in the vicinity of a couple of million to perhaps as much as 3 million year over year. So if all of those would yield at something near trend, then clearly the new crop bean market has a risk, and the risk would yet be to the downside.
And we probably wouldn't realize that risk until we see planters moving and getting beans in the ground. Would the prospective plantings report carry enough weight, do you think, with the trade to really drive this thing down if they report 87 or whatever?
Yeah, I think that in combination with renewed export competition out of the southern hemisphere, and that would be documented by weekly export sales and shipments, that would probably keep the markets very well in check.
Okay. All right. Well, Virgil, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I want to turn over to Walt Hackney and talk about the livestock markets for a little bit. Walt, and I want to start looking at this live cattle market. We saw record high prices last November when you were on with us last. The market broke, and now it seems to have found a little bit of stability. Is the consumer still buying beef like they were last year?
That's a relative question. I don't know that I can address that. I can address it from this standpoint. The demand, if you will, of cutout beef is not nearly good enough for the packer to sustain the cash level they're paying for feedlot cattle as we speak. Now, I don't know that that answers your question, Mike, but the usage of cutout value beef is restricted, of course, by lack of good export. We do not have good export, and so it has to go into our domestic usage, and that is creating a financial hazard for the packing industry as we speak right now. The losses that the major packers are incurring is phenomenal in regard to the disparity between cash value of the cattle and cutout value of the beef and where their profit is or is not. It is not as we speak now. And so we have an issue that cannot be resolved at this point because there's a certain amount of the beef produced by the packer that goes to standing orders under contract to retail users. Another portion of that goes to exporters that either go limitedly to export or go to cold storage in anticipation of export. And that, if you've watched the federal inspected slaughter on a weekly or a daily basis, that has gotten down to the point of being ridiculously low. And it's only because the packer is just losing a lot of money, and they're going to continue to lose money until they get two things can happen. The dress value of the beef can appreciate to where it's in some sort of a balance with the cash value they're paying at the feedlot, or cash value of the cattle can come down. And so if I was willing to roll the dice, I would say that the market may be somewhat top-heavy in the cash because the usage of the beef just simply is not there.
All right. Well, now, and that leads right into the next question. We've got a viewer on Twitter who asked us this question, and you see a lot of feeder cattle, Walt Hackney. JJ in Oakley, Minnesota is curious, will feeder cattle continue to make their way higher? Do you think there's still room to run in this feeder market, given those concerns about the fat cattle trade?
Well, I think there's very few people that would disagree that the price of feeder cattle have been extraordinarily high for over 2 years and have progressively gotten higher until the last 6 months. And then they basically leveled out, not to say they got tremendously cheaper, but they leveled out. The thing that's going to dictate those feeder cattle is simply, will the packer take it off of the feedlot in the form of cash money? And if they do, that's going to influence feeder cattle. Secondly, where in the scheme of things is there any kind of a supply of feeder cattle that is conducive to overloading the feedlots? It isn't out there.
Okay.
And it isn't going to be out there because we are in a dramatic restricted amount of cattle available for feedlots as we speak.
So it's going to be a tight battle, numbers versus price from the feeder.
And I don't know that there's a fundamental answer. In my circles, probably not. People are willing to give these exorbitant prices for these feeder cattle. I had a question for Virgil. He mentioned that the on-farm storage in regard to soybeans was fairly high. My question that I'm having, and that is part of the reason that feeder cattle are in fact at the level they're at or possibly stronger, a lot of the cattle feeders are gambling, Virgil, on there being a lot more on-farm corn storage than what has been reported. Now, is there anything to that kind of a comment?
I think there's been a lot of on-farm storage built in the last 5 years, Walt, and I think the stocks in all positions report next Tuesday will indicate a pretty significant size, a pretty significant amount of corn yet on the farms. Now, the issue has been, at least in my opinion, a lot of these folks have more financial wherewithal than in years past. They've had some awfully good years, and I think many are reluctant, Walt, to part ways with that remaining old crop until they're convinced they have the prospect of a good new crop. I don't think they're in need of money, and as a result, it's going to be difficult, I think, to source corn in quantity for at least the next several weeks.
So it would not be accurate on my part to make any kind of an assumption that the price of corn, because of the on-farm storage volume, is going to create a deficit in the price that would be lucrative to a cattle feeder to go out and pay these prices.
Well, I think in time they'll be confronted with that issue when they are convinced that their new crop has potential to produce at or something near yield. And then secondly, they'll want some opinion on acres here. You know, how many acres are we actually planting this season? Most analysts, including our group, is of the opinion acres will be down year over year, Walt.
All right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for making my job easy this evening. But with that, we're going to have to wrap up. I want to thank both Walt Hackney and Virgil Robinson for joining us this week. That wraps up this edition of Market to Market. But Walt, Virgil, and I will continue our discussion and answer your questions and discuss the pork market in our Market Plus segment online. You'll also find audio podcasts as well as streaming video of our program exclusively at the Market to Market website. And be sure to join us next week when we'll examine the market impact of USDA's much-anticipated prospective plantings and stocks estimates. So until next time, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.